CliffCentral.com. Last week we had Darren Graham and Happy Makumalangidi, you remember, from Proudly South African, ahead of their launch for the festive season campaign with a message of buying local. Today and for the next few weeks we'll be continuing to help spread that message, and we'll highlight some great South African entrepreneurs that can benefit from your support whenever you buy local, especially this festive season. Hopefully you'll continue to buy local all year round. So this morning we're joined by Rob Urquhart from the Harambee Youth Employment Accelerator and Benji Kutsir from Empty Trips, two entrepreneurs who are breaking the mold of what it means to be successful in business in South Africa today. Good morning to you. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Gareth.
Fine. Good. How are things looking?
Good, thanks, Gareth.
Excellent. No, all right, very, very nice. So let's just talk about Empty Trips for a start. Tell me about Empty Trips, an AI-enabled transport marketplace. What does that even mean?
Yeah, exactly. So in simple terms, basically what we do is we use the volumetric dimensions of cargo. Mm-hmm. So you're thinking commodity, mine heaps, containers. We match that space to the empty space on a truck, train, or plane. And by doing that, it's almost like a dating site for freight and space. We try tech.
Oh, so unused space in a truck or in a train or whatever else. Unused space gets put to use by this AI
algorithm. It's mathematical match.
But that's brilliant, because I always drive past these trucks on the highway and I wonder how full they are.
Yeah. You should actually take a picture if you see an empty truck and shame them. So I've created like this whole movement around it, that in South Africa it's a $500 billion industry, transport and logistics. Globally it's about $8.1 trillion, and they estimate about a third of vehicles run their gross distances empty. So if you think of the quantum of just the wasted space and the cost, and then the carbon emissions.
Because you're using the same amount of fuel.
Exactly.
You're going the same distance, taking up as much room on the road, frightening all the other motorists. Mm. Into these huge trucks.
And I mean, it's not just the wasted cost for the transport or the user, but it's also for government. I mean, it's about 99 cents per ton kilometer damage to the road by a truck. So to know that the truck's on the road and doesn't need to be on the road, we're actually indirectly paying for the damage by just sub-optimizing the matching.
But surely a truck has to be empty at some point, because it has to drop the stuff off and then go back.
Yeah, it depends on cross-contamination. So you can't typically go put sugar now in a coal train. Right?
No, sure.
But there are times where it's just literally companies don't talk to one another. So I say it's like a shared economy on steroids. We are unable, the two biggest competitors, to talk to one another online virtually, anonymously, which protects their brands. It avoids a lot of collusion in the industry and back end.
That's fantastic. How long did it take you to get this going? That's a very brilliant idea.
So I quit my job at the end of 2016 and I started working on this beginning of last year.
What were you doing before then?
Management consulting. Okay. I was with a firm called the Boston Consulting Group, and I basically did a lot of turnarounds and restructuring types of projects. And before that, investment banking. Hey, so just love math. Love some models and built me an algorithm.
That's amazing. All right, so less trucks, less collisions, less road damage, less fuel wasted, less infections, emissions, all that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Seems to me to be a very good idea. And have you received support from government?
No. So I raised capital from a listed company in October last year on the JSE. I was very fortunate. There's very few founders in South Africa, especially tech founders, that are attacking the enterprise space that can raise capital within their 6 months of scoping, development, and launching. So it was a very aggressive build-up to that. And it was also an accidental funding round, because I'd been said no to many, many, many times, because it's too high risk, it's still too early stage, you're attacking like established big businesses that don't like disruption.
Do they tell you that the margins are too small?
At times, but for us, it's because you build a platform, and that's your only infrastructure, right? Yes, the technology costs a lot to build, but once you've built it once, it's not like you have to go reinvest in so many trucks. So I say, well, we currently have about 5,000 trucks on our portal. We're the largest transport company in Africa within 2 years without owning a single vehicle.
That's amazing.
The only asset we have is the portal and our people, obviously. Right? I have to be diplomatic, my people, when they're performing.
Okay, so how many people do you have?
So full-time we have 3, and then we've got 7 freelancers that work with us. So we love the freelance model. I think it's the most economic way to build a business. And the quicker you get to break even as a startup, the quicker you can raise bigger capital, if that's your goal, not my goal to overcapitalize my business at all. But it also just helps you and creates you, I don't know, it enables more innovation when you're not stressed. and wondering yeah, about runway sure. and paying salaries and all these
but
things.
But I'm curious, before you came along with this idea, these companies were happy to just waste. Because essentially that's what it is. It was wastage. It was a huge amount of just unnecessary expenditure.
Well, it's also just an exchange for O2 for CO2, right? Because you're literally transporting oxygen around. previously, I think the disjointedness in the industry and this competitive will between the companies to actually not share data was one of their biggest downfalls. And then you got these pop-ups of these bigger companies acquiring all of the smaller companies. And a lot of BE CSR spend has also been on small to medium enterprises buying trucks, which is probably the worst investment you can possibly make. When I said that to Supergroup CEO, he was very uncomfortable, but I was like, you should shift your business a little bit, right? You need to go asset light. So the only way to do that is to, by a click of a button, have access to 5,000 trucks. Why own them, right?
How hard is it as a woman, Benji, for you to have got involved in the transport industry? Because I can't imagine there are a lot of women in the transport industry, certainly not at CEO level.
Well, self-appointed CEO, right? Yeah.
There aren't any. Are there any others?
Well, there are a few women that I respect in the transport and logistics industry, but they won't typically be the CEO. They're probably in like senior management, especially in the bigger corporates.
Right.
Very male-dominated, still very Afrikaans-dominated, which is fine because I am Afrikaans, so that does help. But it's actually quite refreshing. When you're going to an established transport and logistics company or a trucker or even the rail operators and you're a fresh team of dominated by women, you're bringing innovation to the industry, you're trying to enable them, right? Because I'm trying to help them get better yield in their investment. Better utilization is better return.
Yeah.
So it's actually been quite an easy sell. I mean, there has been sometimes I've been escorted out of buildings by security and all of that for saying things and not keeping my mouth shut when I should.
Yeah, you seem pretty fearless to me.
But besides from that, it's been really, really positive in general. I think it's refreshing for the market.
Who developed the algorithm?
So I wrote the algorithm in Excel.
That's brilliant.
Thank you. It's a multiple if function, and then it's macro-enabled with a geolocation mapping over 100 kilometers of the origin and 100 kilometers of the destination, and tries to find a spatial and a directional match.
Oh, that makes my head hurt.
Right. So many terms there.
And now we've even optimized it for like wagon routes.
So do you know what the rest of us do? We primates. We just climb down off the trees.
I'm currently finishing off my 2015 tax on Excel. Just because it takes
I've got a model
so
for you.
God.
So I bought it in Excel and then I came across.
How long did that take you?
Sure, I worked on the algorithm for a good 6 months because I was learning about geolocation plugins from Google and all of
that. And how do you test it?
You just run scenarios, if functions, right? It's in Excel, if function can do basically anything. If X, Y, Z match Y. If da, 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 da equals hooray, happy. You know, you can do anything. And that basically is also used in by my CTO and developer. And he's the real brains because he found flaws in my algorithm, right? So,
shocker.
I know.
How rude.
I know. And I was like, I'm personally hurt here. But anyway, and then he converted it into an online portal. So he took that and then coded it. So basically, a lot of coders actually prefer working off of Excel first because if you can write a formula for it, they can write code for it, right? So so that's very powerful. And that's kind of where it started. And now we recently changed the algorithm for rail. So it's the first digital rail exchange globally.
How hard is that compared to road?
Okay, so there, that's one of the companies who got thrown out of the building from biosecurity.
Transnet?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm not their biggest favorite because I've obviously highlighted the inefficiencies on the rail network, that indirectly they're responsible for the road damage, for the, 30% of the road deaths on the N3 are probably trucks that didn't need to be on the road. So I've been very vocal and I've been a real rail evangelist. And that's also differentiated us because no one's trying to Uberize rail freight. We're the first ones. So, for example, Howard Buffett from BNSF is in contact with us now. And that's quite cool as a South African startup to say one of the largest rail companies in America is willing to work with us. Even though we're still broke. We've still made a single. No, we've made money, but everything goes straight back into dev, right? Sure. Or people, or marketing, or whatever the case may be. Because my mindset's very different. When a venture capitalist contacts me, I'm like,
You don't want to give them any, right?
No, it's not that. I'm not greedy about my equity at all. I raise capital through a corporate, but not a corporate VC, because I believe their model's broken. They're building a bubble. All they're after is big raises. It gives big valuations that have no value principles behind them. And then thirdly, they charge huge management fees that are 7 to 10%, which is in America more than what you'd pay on a bank loan.
Hmm.
So I'm a little bit like anti.
So who would you take money from?
I love seed funders and angel funders, people that have been there, can give advice, understands the struggle, the bipolar days that you have at the office and all of that. So seed funders and angels.
Is this thing scalable internationally?
So it's a copy and paste into any country, basically. So that's the goal.
Where are you going next?
Ideally Australia. So you can see we chase commodities, mining products and agri, because it's usually payload. And large payload means it's heavy and bulky and it's traveling a far distance. So that's great for rail in particular, because what do you move by rail? It's usually the heaviest stuff that you don't want to put by road. And it's also safer by rail in general in terms of collisions. I mean, when last did you hear about a train being hijacked? Unless it's a high-speed train on a movie in Hollywood, right?
Yeah,
you know, it doesn't really happen. But trucks, all the time. So very big opportunity in Australia. Also from the mining sector, a lot of interest because it's an aggregator, right? Through a portal like this, they get access to multiple operators, multiple pricing, which overall leads to price savings and profits for them. So it makes their lives a lot easier. Well, we try.
And who is in this? Just you?
No. So I am 76% shareholder still through my trust. Then my CTO is 4% sweat equity, Herman Strauss. He's in Bloom.
Right.
And then 20% is Unicorn Capital listed on the JSE.
Very, very impressive. And this is a proudly South African business and idea.
Proudly South African business. When we launched last year, we were proudly part of them, as well, of course, still today. Mm-hmm. And it was, I think, one of the proudly South African events last year, April, was my very first event as a founder. I was the only employee, obviously, standing by my little stand and handing out little pamphlets and people not understanding what you're trying to do.
Did people get it quickly or did they take a while to understand?
No, you just say, you see that empty truck? I can fill it with an algorithm like dating. And they're like, oh, like Tinder for freight.
Tinder for freight.
If you were on Dragon's Den, you'd win all of the money.
Yes. No, I'd have that.
I think you would.
I would take it.
All right, let's give Rob some attention. I don't want to make it all about Benji. I mean, it doesn't seem fair. So Harambee Youth Employment Accelerator is an independent, not-for-profit social enterprise that works with individual businesses, government agencies, local and international donors, industry sector associations, youth-serving organizations, assessment specialists, behavioral change experts, and technology providers. Now, that's a huge mouthful, but essentially one of the biggest problems we have in this country is youth unemployment.
Correct.
And you're looking at solving that, Rob.
Correct. So we, to build on I think, what Benji was saying, since we were talking about dating, Harambee is a combination of a dating agency and a finishing school for unemployed young people. So we have this massive unemployment problem in South Africa for youth, 48%, roughly one in two youth unemployed. Yet we see that there are vacancies in the economy, even in a low growth or a slow growth economy such as South Africa.
Right.
There are vacancies and there are sectors where jobs are growing. And our work, I think, is really to try and get young people into those jobs as quickly and as cost effectively as possible and get them engaged in activities that will continue to grow their employability over a period of time.
All right, so explain to me, like I'm a complete idiot, how exactly it works. Do people have to come and join your database and you farm them into the system?
Sure. So we have a Mobi site, a zero-rated Mobi site, where an unemployed young person can log on. I think we should also say we're dealing very specifically with youth from poor households. That's our kind of our focus area. But you log on to our Mobi site, you join the kind of Harambee network. We will conduct a range of assessments with you, some of those over the phone, some of those in person with you. We collect that data. We're able to use, again, picking off Benji, we use algorithms to understand matches to particular opportunities.
What kind of jobs are we talking about?
So we're talking about jobs all the way from the retail hospitality sector through to cruise liners, through to financial service sector jobs, business process outsourcing. We've worked across the economy in placing young people into jobs.
And what did you do before this?
Like Benji, I was also a management consultant for 14 years.
Wow. And where were you consulting?
I was with a organization called the Resolve Group for a number of years, and then landed up at Ernst & Young EY for a last stage.
And this is more fun for you, or is this more challenging? And do you have any regrets about making the move into doing something like this?
Not at all. I mean, it's purpose-driven work, I think, as Benji had said. It's work that you wake up and you do every day that's good for the soul and kind of keeps you going. And it's good for South Africa, right?
Do you have any kind of measure for how much, of course it's good for South Africa, but how good is it? Because it is hard to find people and it's hard to find work for those people. I mean, you're essentially doing what the Department of Labor should be doing.
We're filling gaps I think we're filling a number of different gaps. I think the education system is not seeing the kind of transition rates and throughput rates that it should be doing.
Why do you think that is?
I mean, I think there's a number of reasons to see that. I think that part of what the curriculum is focusing on is that kind of future-proofed is potentially some of that. I think changing the kind of assessment standard of what a good kind of mark is doesn't provide a good signal to the market. And so we see employers saying, look, we don't trust the credibility of a school leaver certificate, and you've got to ask why that is is the case. So I think there are a number of kind of issues to that. And then I think, you know, the sort of post-schooling education and training system has its own challenges, particularly the technical vocational colleges, and that content, I think we hear a lot, isn't aligned to what employers are saying that they need.
Someone sent me a list from the World Economic Forum of the top 10 declining and top 10 emerging jobs, and I wanted to know what your opinion on these are. Declining jobs: data entry clerks, accounting, bookkeeping, and payroll clerks, administrative and executive secretaries, assembly and factory workers, client information and customer service workers, accountants and auditors. I wouldn't have thought they would be there.
Oh, no, you can automate
that. You can automate that?
Yeah, you can automate that. Algorithms. No, the algorithm.
Yeah.
Benji's busy putting you out of work, accountants and auditors.
Sorry,
material
guys.
Recording and stock keeping clerks. Well, clearly that's something that you'll know something about there as well, and that's easy to replace. General operational manager and post service clerks. Postal, obviously. Postal as in, you know, post and telecommunications. Then the top 10 emerging ones: data analysts and scientists, mm-hmm. AI and machine learning specialists, mm-hmm. general and operational managers of a different kind, software and application designers and analysts, big data specialists, digital transformation specialists, new technology specialists, and information technology services.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's an interesting...
What do you make of those?
I think it's an interesting list, because, I mean, I think there's a number of management positions in there that are looking like they're under fire. But I think equally, I would contest some of that, but I would also say certainly the data analysts, and we're about to embark on a project in getting unemployed young people into entry-level data analyst positions that mm-hmm. don't right. require you to go through a 3-4 year university degree. And we've seen young people have the potential to do these jobs, right? We've seen kids from Orange Farm, one of the most dispossessed areas in Johannesburg, get into the We Think Code bootcamp, which doesn't require you to have maths or science. Actually, right. It's just about your predilection for that kind of work. So I think these jobs have opportunity as well as cost. They can be job creating,
100%,
not job destroying. And then I think, you know, the knowledge worker piece, I would contest that a little bit. I think there's opportunities to get youth engaged in collecting data and getting them into a foothold into those types of digitally enabled jobs. That's quite powerful. And we've seen that in the Gauteng recently did a township audit of 20,000 township-based businesses. That was all run by youth in community who could go out, have the credibility in their communities to kind of collect that data. So these types of opportunities, I think, are dynamic and quite exciting.
Yeah, and obviously technology helps you to match up people with jobs and so
absolutely.
On in a way that could never have been done before.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I think there's a bit of a reality check that we need to do in South Africa, though. I think those jobs are very valid and they're very sexy if you think of a more developed, systemized economy.
Sure.
South Africa is still very old school. So I think for the next 10 to 15 years, RMB will be very safe in terms of placing mm-hmm. people in the more mundane, old school kind of roles, because our corporates don't like change. Mm. They don't like changing to systems. They don't like investing in them. It's very valid what Jack Ma said, that if big business doesn't change the way they do things, because they literally are like Goliath still.
Yeah.
You know, these sexy titles aren't really going to pop up. And when you do and they put someone in that position, trust me, they're probably not qualified.
Yeah, I'm interested.
Because they aren't these humans and they say really.
I'm curious about what both of you think about big business at the moment and these huge corporations. I mean, everybody's talking about job creation. Mm. So Rob, in particular, this is something that must interest you.
Yeah.
The jobs are going to be created by smaller businesses, yeah, right? Yes. And the jobs are going to be created by individuals themselves who want to set up shop or try and make a difference or try and bring in a little bit of income. How are we faring in that respect?
I think there's work to be done. I mean, I think there's I think there are corporates out there who are doing very good work. Mm-hmm. And I think of First Round, I think in particular, has made some strong commitments in the next 2 years in that regard. But I think you're right, Gareth. I mean, I think the small and medium enterprise space really is a space that has the potential to absorb young people. But it faces a lot of very systemic kind of constraints to growth. I mean, you run your own business, and you know what that's kind of like. And that's regulatory stuff in some cases.
It always
cases.
Seems to me that when people talk about our economy, they talk about business, big business that is, government and labor. Mm. And they think like they're, you know, writing Karl Marx Das Kapital. They're not thinking about the way that the modern economy is constituted, which is out of very many more small individual parts that actually play a much larger role than those three behemoths ever can, and that are much more nimble and that are much more change adapted. Those are not things that you can turn easily.
No. I mean, I would also think that if corporates are going to get some of this stuff right, they've got to think about how they can backwards engineer some of their supply chains to those small and medium enterprises. And I think that's an area which I don't think they're getting right across the board at this point.
I mean, I can speak on that perspective. So one of the very big companies, I won't mention a name just for protection of our relationship, but they're a huge alcohol company. And we did a whole case study for them to remove about 1,300 trucks off the road for them running up to Lusaka delivering some kind of alcohol. Mm-hmm. And 39 million rand just in the one type of bottles that they're sending a year in savings and shifted onto rail.
Wow.
Great for the environment, great for social impact, the road damage. No one pays the tolls in Zambia, so the roads are shot. Bike bridge border posts are stuck for 3-4 days. So it could really alleviate a lot. First question I was asked after presented it, what is my BEE level status? It needs to be level 2. Mm. So as a founder, that's very demotivating because you're the one that's risked all of your savings. Mm. You've worked day and night. You've
and
aged tenfold.
And you don't
tenfold,
give two shits about the politics.
Yeah. And you don't care about the politics. And I'm like, yeah, but you know how many people I'm employing and how many people I'm going to employ with this, this kind of contract.
Short-term thinking, right?
And it's not that level 4 is enough because that you think, oh, level 4 will be enough because you're still a small to medium enterprise. It's not. They want level 2 because of their BEE points. So then you demotivate an entrepreneur that's taken risk that can innovate a whole industry.
I mean, I would if you came to see me. If you came to see me, I'd just make you Minister of Transport. Solve all our problems. My God, everyone would get to work in this country. We've got such transport issues, and I think underutilization of the amount of vehicles and space and potential that we have, and that's what you're doing. You're filling those gaps.
I mean, if you look at Transnet, it's estimated about 9.7 billion rand a year is being left on the table by underutilized trains because you can't access the train. Try and get hold of TFR. You can't get them on the phone. And even as a small to medium enterprise, you won't get a guarantee that's needed to secure an account with Transnet. So even if you were willing to say, all my cargo moves from Durban to Joburg by rail, you can't do that. You can't even get access. So only big business can. So what happens? Small business defaults to trucks. Trucks are more expensive. Their products are less competitive. So it's like a vicious cycle. Small business actually can't compete against big business, you know? So it is systemic. Mm. It really is a systemic issue of monopolistic SOEs.
But you know what? If you're a brilliant business person, you will find solutions to all of these problems. And the idiots who've created the problems will end up becoming irrelevant.
Well, we hope. Lips to God's ears.
I'm holding thumbs for both of you. I think it's terrific what you're doing. Benji and Rob, what a pleasure to have you here. Proudly South African. For more information on Proudly South African, you can visit www.proudlysa.co.za or you can visit their new online store for their only locally Made Products. That's at www.rsamade.co.za. Congrats to both of you on starting these incredible businesses. I hope you continue to have huge success.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
As Donald
Thanks,
Trump would say, huge success. Very, very nice to meet you both. CliffCentral.com.